Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porter with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. And it's that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Doing well. How are you guys doing today?
We are doing wonderful. Good. And, Charles, we want to start with the news that's making a lot of noise right now in the NFL, and that, of course, is Deshaun Watson and sexual assault allegations civilly in those lawsuits up to 14 with 24 accusers by my latest count at this point. What have you thought of everything that's been going on with Deshaun Watson and the case over the last couple of weeks, and where do you think this could go from here? Specifically with the NFL and how they decide to handle this?
Well, so I pulled the 14th case this morning, and, you know, when you read through all of them, I think the thing that's concerning is that there are similarities between all 14 cases. You know, you see little pieces of information that seem to match up between the different accounts. Now, you know, you can approach this with skepticism and just say, you know, this is the attorney who has all these different clients, and maybe that's why these cases are matching up, and this, you know, there's some ambulance chasing going on here or whatever. But from what I understand, the accusers, it's a pretty varied group. You know, it's a different ethnicities, different backgrounds, different marital statuses, relationship statuses, different sort of business setups. So it's a pretty diverse group with a lot of, alleged victims who don't fit easily into one box. And, I think what's interesting to me is when you sort of hear what's coming out of Deshaun Watson's camp, they have to kind of pick a lane here and stick to it, because I'm hearing all these different varied stories here, and, you know, that's suggestive of a pretty significant defense problem that's brewing here. And, you know, so you hear, well, Deshaun's, you know, masseuse, because of COVID, wasn't available. Okay, well, there was, I guess, no effort to go through the team to resolve that problem. Then it's, maybe this was an element where this was just consensual, and there's more to what was being sought out by Deshaun Watson was more of a consensual, setup here. Well, okay, well, then there's these text messages, though, that sound like, you know, Deshaun Watson, alleged text messages that sound like Deshaun Watson was setting up legitimate massages. So it's just a lot of things that don't match up right now. And I think part of the reason why you have Deshaun Watson's camp is so quiet is because the totality of the lawsuits haven't been filed. You know, there's 14, potentially, as you said, 24, we'll see. And that's through one lawyer. We don't know if there are other lawyers and other women. It's one lawyer who's making this very public. So that's what everybody's focusing on. And now there's this reality that, you know, the lawyer Tony Busby is consulting with a defense attorney who's essentially laying out how, you know, he could backdoor criminal charges here, which is to put together a packet of affidavits stating what happened, forwarding that to the Houston Police Department, the Harris County District Attorney, and essentially saying, look, we have victims here who are willing to sit for a grand jury. If you want to impanel a grand jury, they'll provide testimony, and then you can decide, you know, the grand jury can suggest whether or not Deshaun Watson should be charged with a crime here. There's a lot going on here. And I think people are like, well, what, how does this affect his trade value? Like, people just need to back off that. Okay. Like, how does this affect his ability to move forward with his job? Criminality, you know, did this or did this not happen? And, you know, I've had a chance to talk to a couple of teams that were interested in Deshaun Watson prior to all these incidents. And what's clear to me is, you have two things that have to happen here. Number one, whoever the team is, forget the fact that League and Lisa Friel, they're doing their own investigation. Forget, you know, what's going on with these lawyers kind of going back and forth. if a team's even going to consider trading for Deshaun Watson, they have to be 100% convicted that he is innocent of all these allegations. 100%. Because they're going to have to throw their full weight behind his innocence once he's acquired. And then once they clear that hurdle, hey, we believe he's 100% innocent, we've done all our due diligence, then somebody has to go to the league, whether it's the owner, a general manager, a coach, whatever an organization can bring to bear, has to go to Roger Goodell and say, are we onboarding someone who's going to be, you know, on the commissioner's exempt list, potentially suspended? We need some kind of guidance from the league here to know what we could be getting ourselves into from a league perspective. And that's just the start of this. So the longer this goes, the worse it seems to get for Deshaun Watson, just in terms of the allegations. And, you know, let's say this comes out to 20 lawsuits or 24 lawsuits. If even a quarter of those actually go to trial, say it's, you know, 5 or 6 lawsuits actually go to trial, that's years of litigation. That's motions, counter motions. That's motions to dismiss. That's, you know, evidentiary hearings. It's a million different things, and we're talking about literally years and years of litigation. So it should be the number one story in the NFL right now, and if you're watching a network and it's not the number one story on that network, I can't tell you why that is.
Well, why do you think that is, Charles?
I think the way that this was initially presented by Tony Busby caused a lot of reticence for people, and I can speak for myself personally. When it first came out on last Tuesday, I'd never seen a lawyer approach it the way that Tony Busby approached it, in terms of going to Instagram and saying, hey, here's what we're going to do, and then talking about himself half of this Instagram post. And you know, I've spent 5 years in investigative, and that was literally like canoeing through lawsuits for 5 years. I mean, it was. And I've never seen, even attorneys who wanted a lot of attention had never approached something like this on social media the way Tony Busby has. Now, I think that caused some people immediately to go, wait a minute, you know, this is real stinky, the way that this is starting. Like, something doesn't feel right here. But by Thursday, it had gone from one accuser to 6. And then when you started to read through the filings, I think there's enough there if you want to go through the filings where you're going to go, there seems to be a lot of commonality here. Now I want to know why. And the fact that, again, they're willing to provide affidavits to law enforcement, if indeed that does happen, you're opening up all of these accusers to have to testify under oath, the ones that would be willing to testify under oath for a grand jury. Well, now they can be prosecuted in that case. The attorney himself could be putting himself at jeopardy if there's something nefarious going on here. So I don't know if that the networks, people aren't really combing through this and looking at this situation and going, hey, we got to get beyond how this thing started and understand what this really looks like now, or what. Or if it's just because Deshaun Watson had this, you know, up until this point has always had this squeaky clean image, and so people are having a hard time believing it. But you know, I was talking to a team, and, you know, I said, hey, if you attached X player's name, and I named a player who kind of had a sort of like a history of things, I said, if this player was in the middle of this, it would be on every network all the time. I can't understand why, you know, for example, the NFL Network, I get it. It's league-owned. I get that. But when all hell was breaking loose, the next day, I can't remember what day it was, it might have been Friday, with the NFL Network, I was like, let me watch this. Let me watch their morning show and see how long it takes them to talk about this. It was an hour and 40 minutes. And then Will Silva gave it 30 seconds. And I was just like, wow. We just went an hour and 40 minutes, and then they gave it a 30-second update. And that's really, all the attention they're going to pay to this. And so, you know, everybody's got their reasons behind it, and it probably doesn't help that there are still multiple teams and owners that would be willing to at least have talks with the Texans about Deshaun Watson. But this is a massive, monumental story that's going to drag on for a while. And anybody who thinks this is just an ambulance-chasing event that's going to go away quickly, I just don't see it happening unless there's some kind of silver bullet that I don't see from Deshaun Watson's camp.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Charles, we talked about this with you a few weeks ago when Dak Prescott signed his deal. But the NFL TV deal finalized, $110 billion. Amazon involved, multiple broadcast networks as well. What did you think of the deal for the league, and what does this mean in terms of the salary cap and things like that moving forward as well?
Well, Amazon's the highlight. You know, when you NFL owners were doing backflips over getting Amazon involved in this, and I really do believe that the Thursday night package that they'll pick up in 2023, it's a test drive. And I think that, interestingly enough, I think it's the test drive that when the 7-year out comes, you know, there's a opt-out clause after 7 years, it's an 11-year deal. I think the NFL is going to sit there and the owners are going to rub their hands together and go, is there some way we can get ESPN and Amazon into a fight over the Monday night rights? Because the Monday night franchise is the monumental, you know, that, and I'll say this, like, look, they still haven't figured out the Sunday ticket package, which is still in the hands of DirecTV. That's got to be figured out. DirecTV has that through 2022. So, you know, that's also something that I think Amazon could potentially pick up. But I think the league would like to figure out a way to bring Amazon more into the fold than just the Thursday night package. And so people kind of understand what Amazon's involvement is going to be. They're going to 100% produce their Thursday night games, meaning the camera shots, the talent, it's a network event for Amazon. So it's a ground-up build from Amazon in terms of what they're going to do for Thursday night football. So I think Amazon's intriguing. I think the dollars are what we all thought was insane. But you know, it was interesting. There were some wrinkles too that I think are good for fans. They told ESPN finally, hey, you can flex games on Monday night starting in week 12. That's great because now we don't have to watch dog games in you know, December and you know, November and December. So for them to flex some games, that's great. But it's indicative of 2023, you're going to see a big jump in the salary cap. I think next year's going to be flat. Then 2023, we're going to see the big step forward. And all those teams that were telling me, hey, 5 years from now, as in 5 years from this season, the cap's going to be 250 to 260 in terms of $250 to $260 million. I don't have any question about that now. I think I would be stunned if it's below $260 million 5 years from now.
Well, let's get your Titans take, Charles. You know, the entirety of this picture, signing Dupree and Autry, letting both Butler and Adoree Jackson go, not going after a high-priced receiver. We see the Giants gave a lot of money to Adoree Jackson. What do you think of the Titans as they stand right now and what they've done?
You know, I in terms of Jackson, you know, to me, you swap in, you know, Janoris, and I think they're similar. Honestly, I think they're similar players. So, you know, I mean, if it just comes down to the money, then okay, you know, I get it. Like, I can understand that. But in terms of the talent, I think you're going to probably see comparable performance. You know, Janoris is at least a good 3-4 years removed from his best football. The totality of the class, I mean, it's all really going to depend on Dupree. I think, you know, given the money that if Dupree does really well, you're going to look at the class and you're going to say, okay, we're happy with it. We resolved some pass rushing issues. We paid him a lot of money and we took a lot of risk here, but he's going to have to succeed, you know, because I think Corey Davis is going to put up some numbers. He's going to have some opportunities. And you know, Jonnu Smith, the intent there with the New England Patriots is to maximize, you know, his talent level. So some of the guys you let go, you're probably going to see them, you know, put up some numbers and say, geez, you know, it'd be great if we still had that production, but you're going to feel a lot better about it as long as Dupree makes himself worth, you know, the gamble that the Titans are really putting on him and the money that they're paying him. And now if he comes out and he's, you know, not if the sack numbers aren't there and the impact's not there and you're looking at him and going, geez, he looks more like a cleanup guy where, you know, what if he has to be single covered or not covered to, you know, to really get pressure on the passer, you're not going to be happy with that. So I don't know. It's hard to say. I would say right now that it's a wait and see, you know, in terms of the overall class for the Titans, but it's been a wonky free agency because the teams that I think did really well are the ones that picked off guys for deals that were sub-market where they would have been otherwise. So, for example, the Cleveland Browns, they go and they pick up Troy Hill. You know, the safety Johnson was a guy that I think the Rams were looking at, you know, tagging coming out of the 2018 or 2019 season, I think, or 2018 season. I think they felt like, hey, 2019, 2020, he's going to be a guy we're going to have to apply the tag to. He was banged up last year. So, you know, you see the Browns cheaply grab pieces where, you know, Tack McKinley, a lot of one-year sort of test drive kind of players. And, you know, those are the teams that I think did well. I think the teams that paid guys this year, you know, it was there weren't a lot of big contracts that I thought were, you know, other than maybe like, you know, Trent Williams. There's a lot of gambles that are going on right now, and it's just a weird year because of the salary cap. So I know it's probably not the definitive answer you want, but you know what? You guys were just arguing about the color of Nemo. So
that's true. We did do that.
I want your final grade right now on the Titans, and that's it.
Charles, I do have to tell you this. Before we let you go, it was kind of a flashback to Rex Rhodes college days. I know y'all were friends in college. Rex Rhodes was like an hour and 20 minutes late to the show today because he slept in.
Can you believe it? Is that shocking to you, Charles? Shocking information.
Did you wake up on the floor? I mean, like, how much of a flashback?
Or in the tub.
Or right, in the bathtub.
Right.
Were you banging on the door while I was passed out in the bathtub at 4 a.m. saying, hey, I want to come in and brush my teeth? That did happen, by the way.
Hey, I wasn't going to volunteer that story. You have.
Two legends.
I give you credit, buddy.
Two legends.
One of my finer moments.
Oh, what a night that was. We should do a segment just on those stories sometime.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. Charles, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
All right, have a good one, fellas.
Absolutely. Right, we'll come back and react to a little of what Charles had to say there on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game.